Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. The Brain Massage Show radiates the mind with truth, releasing thought antibodies that attack and destroy lies. Stay tuned. The Brain Masseur is ready to massage your brain.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, Brain Masseur. Convergence Zone. From Converge, which is a coming together of many things or persons from different directions, Convergence Zone is a noun identifying a location where air or ocean currents meet, causing upwelling or downwelling. Upwelling when it's air, downwelling when it's water. The prophet saw the four winds of heaven blowing upon the waters, which represents peoples, nations, and tongues, moving them toward the Convergence Zone, where a great maelstrom, the likes of which neither Jules nor Edgar ever dreamed in their most horrid nightmares, drains the nations into the abyss of hell. Warning! Warning! We are approaching the Convergence Zone. Get ready for your brain massage.
Truth, served here, flavored by delectable wit, delicious sarcasm, succulent sagacity, a gourmet meal for the mind.
There are many strong currents are moving toward collision. Current number one, quote, Representative Alan West said that as many as 80 Democrat members of Congress belong to the Communist Party, end quote. Can anyone spell treason? Communism is the idea that the state is the people. So when a communist reads, we the people, they are actually reading, we the state. Private ownership is frowned upon. How dare you suppose that you can privately own property? All property belongs to the people. Private ownership of wealth is considered theft from the people, because all wealth of the nation, you see, belongs to the people. How can property be collectively owned by everyone? All title to all property is held by the people, and certain persons among the people are charged with the duty to make certain no one presumes to take private title to property. These people protect the right of everybody to own everything, since it is, of course, impossible for everyone to exercise all of the rights and prerogatives of ownership over everything all the time. These special people dole out the privileges of ownership to certain individuals and withhold those rights and privileges from others as they see fit. And therefore, in the end, the rulers of the people are the virtual owners of all property, all wealth, and ultimately, the people themselves. Yeah, when communists talk about the people, they are talking about the state. And after you squeeze all the flatulence out of their high-sounding rhetoric about protecting the people from the oppression of the bourgeois, the property class, well, you end up with a ruling class that holds all the powers and prerogatives of ownership over all the property and wealth, and over we the people. Now, when our founders said we the people, they meant we the individuals that make up the populace. They thought of we the people as having personal inalienable rights, and among them, the right to own their own property and to have their prerogatives and rights of ownership protected. In other words, liberty, you see, is not a collective right of the state. It is the individual right of each person in the state. The right to life is not a right to the collective controlled by leaders of the collective, as in communism. It is an inalienable right of each individual. The point is, communists read our Declaration and our Constitution, by the way, differently from the way that, well, traditional Americans do. They read we the people as the collective whose corpus or body is manifested in the state. See, so that the operators of the state act for, on behalf of, and as the collective. Yeah. Now, you need to pay attention to this. They see the state, note singular, not plural, state, not states, the federal government, you see. They see we the people as identical to the state. Hence, they see the state, meaning the politicians who run it, as masters of the people, because they look at themselves as the people. Yeah. We read we the people as distinguished from the state, as differentiated from the state, as independent of it, as objective from it, and as a matter of fact, the master of it. They've got it backwards. Now you've got at least 80 Democrat politicians who think the state, by right, is the master of the people. They think that when people vote them in, they've been chosen to be masters of the state, hence, masters of the people. This explains much of what's been going on in our government over the last 20 years or so. It's interesting that so much of this is illustrated in the passing of one bill. Now, it's been going on for a long time, and there are many bills that could be pointed to as examples of this, and many other laws that have been implemented that demonstrate that the White House, the Congress, and the judiciary are beginning more and more to act like they are the masters of the people. But it really all comes together in the passing of Obamacare. It's in Obamacare we see the most blatant manifestation of this whitewater current, or to mix my metaphors, we see in Obamacare the teeth of the monster that's beginning to show, or the teeth of the maelstrom beginning to chew. Obamacare is premised on communist thinking. It's evidence that we are moving toward the vortex. We are approaching the convergence zone. Current number two. In the Washington March for Gay Pride, 1993, the homosexuals gathered in force and chanted, quote, "We're here, we're queer, and we're coming after your children," end quote. Now, what did they mean by that? You probably should not do it, but if you did, Google, "We're here, we're queer," and so on, you'd find some very disturbing statements made by some homosexuals. Of course, these homos are kept in the background of the movement. I mean, the ones that come right out loud and in your face with make open statements revealing the truth about the core values of the gay movement. I've brought your attention to this before. There are several sources available documenting what the gay activist leadership will say among themselves, but they won't say publicly. And one of the places you can go to get a real good insight into this is Americans for Truth About Homosexuality. I think their website is AmericansForTruth.com. Essentially, the core belief of the homosexual movement is pansexuality, and that means anything goes. There's a strong branch of the homosexual activist movement called NAMBLA, a North American Men Boys Love Association, advocating for sex between men and young boys. Oh, yeah. They worked to lower the age of consent in Hawaii. I think they were shooting for 13, but they ended up getting it to 14 or something like that. Let me look at the paperwork here. Hold on. All right, it's 16. However, there are exceptions for certain cases allowing it to be 14. Yeah, it's kind of confusing. But anyway, NAMBLA is waiting in the wings of the homosexual movement to begin aggressively and openly advocating for their agenda, which is homosexual pedophilia. The point is that the gay rights movement is focused now on legitimizing homosexuality between consenting adults, but their broader agenda is not mere social acceptance and legal parity. They want to break down the barriers that keep them from our children. Now, it's important to understand that the homosexual movement is not content to live and let live. No, they won't be content until they have full access to teach your children that what you believe about homosexuality is, in fact, wrong. In fact, they want to paint you and create in their mind the idea that you're evil. So when the gay rights activists chanted, "We're here, we're queer, and we're coming after your children," years ago, I warned that because the church had come to a place where it lost any real significant influence in the culture or in shaping public opinion, that amoral instruction in our public schools would necessarily lead to immoral indoctrination, that homosexuals would demand social acceptance in public life on a par with normal, natural heterosexual unions. And at that time, I was dismissed as homophobic, of course. Well, now it's happening, and most of you out there are accepting it like it's normal, you know, the old frog. Yeah, getting cooked slowly, about to croak. Now here I am warning you again. Eventually, once they get this horse saddled and get comfortably seated, holding the reins of public opinion shapers, as they do, and by the way, it's no longer the church, but postmodern, truthers relative, antichrist, godless, communist thinking people. Once the homosexuals get full access to our kids to indoctrinate them that homosexuality is okay, well, they'll move from okay to preferred in some cases, and from preferred in some cases to something everyone should try at least once, and from something everyone should try at least once to structuring a class where children, after they're very carefully indoctrinated, will then be encouraged to actually experience homosexual sex, you know, like a lab experiment. I'm telling you, you rolling your eyes yet? Well, go ahead. Go ahead. Tell me that 10, 15 years ago, you could foresee where we are now with all of this. Homosexuality is contrary to the law of nature and of nature's God. Accepting this unnatural behavior necessarily results in the breakdown of law, and at the end, homosexuality is lawlessness. Anyway, when the homosexuals chanted, "We're here, we're queer, and we're coming after your children," they were announcing their plan to force indoctrinate our children to accept homosexuality. That's what it was about. Even now, some in the homosexual movement are suggesting that social services should remove children from homes where parents teach their children that homosexuality is a sin or that it's unnatural. And you know, folks, they're making significant gains in the pursuit of their goals. Right now, a bill is moving through Congress to require all public schools to not only legitimize homosexuality, but also actually to instruct the children in homosexual practices. Come on. And this is House Representatives Bill 998 and Senate Bill 555. They're using the public schools as indoctrination camps, militantly imposing their immorality onto our impressionable children. They are usurping the parents' place and prerogative. You know, no president, not even Clinton, has been so open and aggressive in support of the homosexual agenda as Obama has. Early in his campaign, there were rumors that he actually practiced homosexual sex and that his preference was older white males. It's all real hush-hush stuff, you know, and oh boy. But the fellow who brought this out was attacked and vilified, of course, and it wasn't too difficult to discredit him since he was he had something of a record, I think, and he himself was a queer. But that notwithstanding, Obama has been a very aggressive champion of the homosexual agenda, unlike anything we've ever seen. And when he speaks to the issue, you listen. It's very obvious. This is a personal thing for him. It's not merely a political expedient position. What you need to understand about Obama is he is a true ideologue. You check out his statements and all the ways he has reached out to the homosexual community, you will begin to see that he personally identifies with that community and champions their cause. He considers DOMA unconstitutional, and even though it is the law of the land, he refuses on that ground to defend it and refuses to enforce it. You see, he's a law unto himself, which, by the way, is characteristic of that mentality. And he is ready to use his influence and the full power of his office to advance the homosexual agenda in this country. I repeat, it would not be possible to get a president that is more sympathetic to communism. It is not possible to find a president who would have greater antipathy to authentic historic Christianity and Judeo-Christian values. It would be impossible to find a president who would be more aggressively supportive of homosexuality than this president. So let's review, and then I'm going to have to go to a break. The convergence zone is the point or the place where several currents converge to create a vortex. And a maelstrom is forming, creating a downwelling with a force strong enough to gulp down this ship of state. But have no fear. I'll be right back.
Church is not the place to be trolling for chicks, and it's not a talent show for rockers. So if you want a rock concert, call Ticketmasters. But if you're looking for a church that takes the lordship of Jesus seriously, and you can endure sound doctrine proclaimed straight from the Bible with the preaching that tells it like it is, without fear or compromise, come to the Lighthouse, where we are shining the light of God's truth to help families safely navigate through the moral storms of our day. Call 347-9887 for more information. Heroes are made, not born. At Lighthouse Baptist Church, we're helping families make heroes with our Heroes of the Faith Sunday School, a character-building program that will have an impact on the life of your child that you will notice at home in their improved attitude and character. Call 888-770-8000. Say, I want my child to be a hero. Leave a number where we can reach you. There's no charge for this program. Call 888-770-8000 today.
Warning. Pastor Scheidbach is not politically correct. And even more shocking, he is a Christian who uses the word God and prays in Jesus' name in public.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, Brain Masseur, and Paul Revere's Lantern Lighter, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, signaling the enemy is on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberty. The convergence zone, the place where several currents converge to create a vortex, a maelstrom. Bible thump alert! Bible thump alert! The Bible uses the figure of many waters, or the sea, to represent masses of people. And the winds blowing upon the sea create currents. And there are foul winds blowing upon the sea of North America, driving currents toward the convergence zone, where a maelstrom is forming. One current, a paradigm shift in our thinking regarding the meaning of we the people. Originally, we the people was understood as objective from the state, as distinct from the state, and it referred not to a collective, but to the fact that each individual possessed certain unalienable rights from our Creator. Well, today, a frighteningly significant number of people read the words we the people and understand it to be a collective, not of individuals, but of persons whose individuality is lost, absorbed into the larger identity with the collective as a whole, sort of a Borg-like mentality, God help us. Originally, we the people meant each person, created in the image and likeness of God, received from him, that is from God, certain rights no one could take away. Now, we the people refers to a collective, which has a public manifestation in the organized state. so that the state is we the people, and they create an absolute identity between the two. And what has happened is, in their way of thinking, the state owns the rights, and those who run the state decide who gets them. The first wind blowing upon the sea is pushing the waters into a current toward communism. And now we have 80 Democrat members of Congress who belong to the Communist Party. Wake up. The advance of communist thinking in this country is perfectly represented in Obamacare, a law that is based entirely upon the premise that the state is we the people, and therefore responsible for the welfare of every individual in it. It also provides for the state to have life and death power over the people, to control their access to health care. Listen, and then ironically, this law also is being used to serve as a means to give the state the power to force you to purchase this or that product in the economy. At the same time, the way it was forced into law was an open demonstration of the Democrats' disregard for the original idea of we the people, in which the state was servant to protect the individual rights, into an idea that the state is an expression of the people and is therefore the master of the people. The second foul wind blowing the waters of the sea into a current that leads to the convergence zone is the homosexual agenda. Homosexuality is unnatural, is a defiance of the laws of nature and of nature's God. And laws constructed to force legitimize homosexuality necessarily infringe upon the individual rights of we the people. And now let's look at another current, another wind blowing a current, abortion. Now, it actually goes with the winds of the gay rights agenda. Why? Because it is a direct assault on cultural values, a current that moves us away from our core values of traditional American culture. It designates a certain class of persons as non-persons when they are at a certain stage in their development. And by the fiat of a court ruling, it has separated those persons from their inalienable right to life. Now it is legal to murder babies in the womb because so long as they are in the womb, they are designated as non-persons. Although this is a confused point of law, where in some cases the baby in the womb is recognized as a person, and in others it is not. But this is even a more devious threat to our liberties. Because, you see, now, therefore, the criteria for whether or not the baby is deemed a person doesn't even matter if they are one. You see, it depends on what the mother or those outside the womb think about the baby. Now, listen to this. If the mother wants the baby, it's a person. If she doesn't, it's not. I warned that this current would take us to the place where arguments would be made that even after the baby's born, a mother ought to have the right to end its life if she decides she doesn't want the baby. And now that's happening. You know, there's not a president in the history of this nation who has been more aggressive in his support, more adamantly in support of pro-abortion than Obama. I mean, it's almost eerie. We've never seen a political figure that is more ardently in support of abortion than this president. I mean, this man stood alone in his opposition to the Born Alive Protection Act. Can you believe that? And that was an extraordinary thing for him to do. He stood alone to defend the right to kill a baby after it was born if the baby was not wanted by the parents. That's amazing. And he would say that a baby born alive after a botched abortion should, if the parents want it to be murdered, should go ahead and be murdered. Of course, they wouldn't use the word murder. I do, because that's what it is. And the doctor, if the doctor and the parents want to go ahead and finish the job, they should be allowed to go ahead and legally do it. Or to walk away and leave it to die on a cold steel table and make no effort to assist it in its struggle for life. Now, this is the most cold-hearted pro-abortion ideologue we have ever confronted in public life. Now, I'll need to hurry along to make sure I'm able to pull this together and deliver the brain massage insight moment you're all waiting for, if you have not already guessed it. Another foul wind blowing across the seascape of America is increasing irrational race hatred. The demon-crat blowhards have huffed and puffed and blown as hard as they can in their heated rhetoric about racial injustice, and they've worked hard and labored day and night to vilify white Americans, and they've encouraged the development of some very serious tensions that have increased to the point of something unlike anything we've seen since Martin Luther King. And the bizarre thing is that virtually everything MLK fought for has been won, and yet there's still no peace. The blowhards have made it an industry is what's happened here. The blowhards are stirring the waters, moving these waters in a trend that is taking us, carrying us toward open conflict with our black brothers and sisters, and this has got to stop. I mean, this thing going on with Zimmerman is deeply troubling. The new Black Panthers have put out a bounty on his head, and you and I both know that if that was done by a white person against any black person, there would be an arrest, it would just be way, way blown up, and yet this is ignored, and even in some ways kind of mildly supported and encouraged. And it's hard to understand why, but if you listen, I'll help you. The new Black Panthers are openly calling for Zimmerman to be killed without the benefit of a trial by his peers. The idea that this is what happened to some black people in the past is often mentioned as justification for this. What? Don't you see that that kind of thinking is exactly the sort of thinking that we should hate and despise? Think about this. What I'm saying is that all this means is that you who advocate this sort of thing or who excuse it are actually no better than those who did it before. You're the same. And therefore, you most certainly do not deserve any sympathy at all. How stupid is this? Someone rapes your daughter, right? So justice is for you to rape theirs? Are you an idiot? How can you for one moment give sympathy or credibility to anyone who has that kind of lowbrow thinking? Okay, think about this. If you think an innocent man should be killed for an alleged crime without benefit of trial because innocent people were killed 100 years ago or 50, even 50 years ago without benefit of trial, are you not exactly the same kind of person you are telling me that you despise? The kind of person you're attempting to get revenge on? This is absurd. Zimmerman was not around during slavery, even if he was. Listen to yourself. You are arguing that because someone in your class was killed unjustly, then therefore someone from the other class ought also to be killed unjustly. Killing unjustly is wrong, period. If Zimmerman did kill Trayvon unjustly, then he should face justice. But you need to back off and let the justice system do its job. And the more we learn about this, the more confused the whole thing becomes. Do you want a society that is ruled by mob mentality? All of this is coming from years of the left fomenting racial hatred, something communists, by the way, set out to do back in the 30s as an effort to undermine America. Oh, yeah. We've never had a president who was more careless in expressing his racial bigotry. Good night. Have you never read his biography, Dreams from My Father? He obviously has deep-rooted racial issues, and it shows up regularly. When some of his Secret Service buds get caught in a scandal, it's necessary to wait before casting judgment. You know, we got to look into this first. We have to do an investigation. But you let a racial issue surface, he takes sides immediately. His Justice Department refused to prosecute a militant Black Panther intimidating white voters at a polling place until he was compelled to at least give the guy some kind of token slap on the wrist. And the word was, you see, that Obama had sympathy for the fact that this is what blacks had to deal with 50 or 60 years ago. What is with this guy and his perverse idea of justice? And he's such a vindictive. Another foul wind blowing the waters into a current toward the convergence zone is the people's willingness to give Obama a pass on the very things they would howl to the heavens about if a Republican did it. Oh, my goodness. And this, recently, Obama signed an executive order allowing him to become America's dictator. Quote, Obama, with a single executive order, granted to himself the power to, quote, commandeer all U.S. domestic resources, including food and water, as well as seize all energy and transportation infrastructure inside the borders of the United States, end quote. I intended to give an analysis of this, but as I prepared the show, I began to realize I needed to go another direction, so I'll save that for next week, Lord willing. No American president has ever had to force Americans to sign up for the fight or to unite in support of the president and the Congress in response to a national threat. WW1, WW2, 9/11. Listen, the only reason to set this kind of thing up is if you expect to need the power to force Americans to get behind an unpopular action of the government. Now think about this. They're already pushing the unpopular Obamacare down our throat. When has any president ever needed to use coercion to rally Americans behind a national cause? But if a president wants to do something to which a very significant number of Americans object and it might not be willing to support, that would be the only scenario where this kind of dictatorial control over the country would be necessary. It's interesting that at an eligibility hearing in New Jersey, Obama's lawyers argued to keep his long-form birth certificate from being entered into evidence. Now, folks, we're talking about the long-form birth certificate that Obama himself had for so long refused to release to the public because, and of course, we never really were made clear on that. The very same long-form birth certificate that he paid lawyers almost $1 million to keep from the public, that one. Yeah, now get this. We're talking about the long-form birth certificate that he finally released to the public and did so specifically, supposedly, allegedly, to allay allegations that he's not a natural-born citizen and therefore ineligible to hold the office. Now his lawyers are arguing to bar that birth certificate from being used as evidence in an eligibility hearing. What? Are his lawyers afraid that Obama will be exposed as a fraud? Now think about this. Why would Obama's lawyers not want the long-form birth certificate that Obama released as proof of his eligibility to be used as proof for his eligibility in a court of law? Well, the answer is obvious. It'll provide an opportunity for experts to testify on record, under oath, to the fact that the document is a proven forgery. All right, let's move to a conclusion here. One more foul wind blowing another current toward the convergence zone. And there are actually several more, but foul winds are blowing through our churches, friends, trending away from a biblical view of God, disrespect for the Bible, disregard for truth, foul winds blowing, moving people from under God to under man. I mean, there are many. And Obama is like representative of all of these. Remember, he declared we're no longer a Christian nation. He resents the use of under God in the pledge, and unless it's an election year. He can never remember that the Declaration declares all men are created equal and endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights. But let's look at one more current tracking toward the convergence zone before I conclude. A recent CBS poll says Romney and Obama are neck and neck. The MSM don't understand how someone so few like, Romney, can be edging out someone everyone loves like Obama. Which is like, who are they? Where do they get this information? Well, don't fall for it. The MSM are touting this recent poll because they want to reinforce the myth that Romney is the only GOP nominee who has a hope of taking out Obama. Listen, I think Romney is Obama's best chance to secure a second term. Make no mistake about it. The liberal MSM and Obama's team are all banking on Romney being the GOP nominee. He's the one they've been targeting from the beginning. He's the one they've been secretly, slyly, and wildly promoting along. He's white. He's rich. He's politically vulnerable. He stumbles over his own tongue when trying to sound conservative, folks. It's 2008 revisited. Romney is courting conservatives now. But once he's in, watch how fast he beats a retreat to his liberal inclinations. I hope not. But if Romney is the GOP nominee, I'll be greatly disappointed and frankly will not be able to support him with anything like enthusiasm. I'd have to become a fake and get into the pretending thing that many do and dance. That's just not me. Sorry. I don't believe Romney can beat Obama. Obama's going to eat his lunch. Romney is Obama's best opportunity to get in again. And if Obama does get a second term, we will have reached the convergence zone. Every negative trend in America today converges at Obama. Trends that have been developing over many years. Think about it. Think it through beyond what I brought to your attention. Just start thinking it through. You will see it. He epitomizes all of it. It all converges at Obama. And you can see it. In November, if we elect Obama to the White House, look out for the maelstrom that will follow. Obama is the convergence zone. I have lit the lamps in the church belfry arch, and now you let me know if you see them. Call 1-888-770-8000. All of you who listen to my podcast, I'm 13,000, I think we're getting up around 700, 13,000, something like that. Many of you who listen by radio, and I've told many thousands, listen, I don't know how all that works, but call me at 1-888-770-8000. Now, if you're from another country or from outside the area, you can email me at thebrainmassageshow.com. Hit the contact us button, thebrainmassageshow.com, or call me at 1-888-770-8000. Leave a message for me on our listener response hotline. I am in town this week, and we'll be at the desk to take calls. If I happen to be on a call when you call, leave your message, and if you want me to, I'll get back to you. I do so appreciate those of you who take the time to write me an email or to give me a call. I realize you're busy. I know that. I appreciate it. Listen, I really thank you for it. Give me a call, 888-770-8000, or email me at thebrainmassageshow.com. God bless you. God save America. I'll see you in church.
Is going to church like walking on a treadmill? You keep going and going and getting nowhere? Has your faith made the difference you're looking for? Come to the church that makes a difference. Lighthouse Baptist Church, a lighthouse for the family. Call 347-9887 for more information.
Love him or hate him, the Brain Masseur is going to make you think. Tune in Saturdays at 7:30 a.m. and go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com if you dare.